You want to go and take your Bibles and turn them to the book of James as we continue our study. James chapter 4 this morning. James chapter 4. And our last time that we were together, as we went through James, we started and went through the first half of chapter 4. And if you remember back last week, chapter 4 was dealing with the warring that was going on among believers, both war against God as people were in disobedience, and then fighting among one another as they were seeking to lust after what they did not have, and it grew and showed hatred towards one another. And we looked at it last week and saw that one is to not be given over to one's own passions, that we are not to be given over to our own sinful desires, but we are to be given over into what the Lord would have for us and how we ought to live in striving after him. Now today we go into a text that I think ties very much into what we went over last week, as today we are going to be focusing from Scripture as James now addresses believers following the will of God in their life. And following the will of God, I think, ties very closely in what we went over last week in not following after my own sinful desires or sinful lusts, but following after the will of God. And so if you're there with me this morning, I'm in James chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 13 and go until the end of the chapter. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let's go and open in a word of prayer and then dive in. Father, I pray as we now become before your word that we continue to allow our hearts to be open to it. I pray that you show us and how we ought to apply this to our life individually, Lord. And I pray that you be with me as I present your word as well. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the will of God and a believer following after God's will is probably something that most of you are familiar with. And if I would say, most of you would say that, yes, I knew that I am supposed to be following after God's will in my life. But the question this morning as we go through this text is, are you truly striving after God's will in your life as a believer? In this text this morning, we see James give an illustration of a couple businessmen and kind of an illustration in how their attitude towards the will of God is, that it might be used as a teaching method for us to see how we ought to live and maybe see some downfalls that we have in our life as well, and maybe that we are somewhat like these businessmen that James is describing here. And so as we see this text, we see first off one's planning. James in our text, as he illustrates these boastful and foolish merchants or businessmen, we see him doing so as they are making plans for their business and ways to make money. And these businessmen that he describes, they talk about a business plan, that we will go here and we will spend a year there and we will earn money. We will sell and make money. And kind of a strategy and probably a common thing Back then, especially in traveling, a lot of times merchants and businessmen had to travel to get their goods across and to be able to have profit as well. And so these businessmen were planning out how they are to prosper in the next year. And when we look at this, this isn't just for businessmen and how one plans how we are to gain, or for people who are trying to earn money, though it very much applies to how you should live in that area as well. This is applicable for all believers as we plan our future as well. As just like the businessmen, we all often seek to plan what we want our future to hold. James describes these overconfident businessmen starting in verse number 13. As he describes their planning, as he kind of introduces them. And they had formulated a plan in which their in their minds, which would lead them to financial success. And they were caught up in focusing on the method or the plan for financial gain that is very likely that controlled how they did their planning. That they were focused on the gains that they could get and how they could prosper, that led their thinking and planning completely. And even how they live their life on a basis. As many of us know that our life that we live as we are people and how we interact is something that we cannot predict, is it? And oftentimes, I think we would love it if we could predict our future. I think it's oftentimes that we would probably say, man, I wish I knew how this would end, maybe in a certain situation. And we see that these men that James is illustrating who don't know the future, they're just planning to their ability as they are seeking to prosper. We see that they have excluded from their planning, though, the will of God. From these verses, it's clear that they did not regard God's will for their life into their planning. As we'll get to in a little bit, verse 16 talks about their boastfulness and the sinfulness of their planning of these future events and actions, and how they're acting to lead themselves to that. And so we see that these businessmen, they're planning for financial gain. And that's not a bad thing, to plan to have financial gain, to plan a smart business. But where they faltered in their planning was they left out God in their life. And James goes through and he kind of describes why this is foolish for a believer to do, to leave God out of our planning, to try to take hold of our future on our own. The first, and something I've already mentioned, is that we cannot predict what the future holds. We try our best sometimes. The weatherman tries very hard to predict, but you can almost toss a coin and the coin might be right more than the weatherman. And we don't have that ability to see what is going to happen. Even among when we try to plan to the best of our abilities, when we try to say, this is what I want to set out and I want to do, we don't know what's going to hold in the future. We can't predict sickness. We can't predict the economy. We can't predict safety while we're traveling. We like to think that we have those things in control, but in the reality, we don't. I remember back quite a few years, well, not quite a few, not too many years ago, 2019, I proposed to my now wife, Nicole, as many of you know her. And after we got engaged, she started wedding planning and we started getting stuff ready. I proposed in the fall of 2019, and many of you know what happened in the beginning of the year in 2020, everything shut down. And can I tell you, that affected our wedding planning dramatically. I was living in Michigan at the time. She was living in Ohio and going to classes at Maranatha in Wisconsin while she was here. But, you know, trying to find caterers, trying to find clothes, that it was such a great challenge. I actually, it was closed down in the state of Michigan. I couldn't get a haircut until a week before my wedding, and I had to go to Ohio to get the haircut because Michigan still outlawed it. Like, that kind of disruption in our planning. And if we would have known, we would have planned differently. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know what the future holds. And apart from the will of God in our life, how we live is kind of a mystery, isn't it? When you are a believer and seek to do the will of God, life starts to make sense, though. As God leads his children who seek his will, and even among the craziness of this world, God's truth is revealed in how we ought to live. See, these businessmen that James illustrates probably had a very smart financial plan where they were going to make money. And on paper, their financial plan probably made a lot of sense. I'm not saying that it was a bad financial plan. The problem, though, is with all the planning, they had taken God out of the equation. They had left out the divine will of God in their life. They were seeking how to fulfill their own desires, how to fulfill their own wants, rather than following after the will of God. And these two desires or focuses will lead one down a very different path than the will of God. Because when daily decisions come and are made, they're often made as we are striving or seeking after something. If your motivation is, I want to do whatever I can to have a brand new Mustang, well, the decisions you make on a daily basis could be very different for someone who says, I want to plan to save up money to buy a house. Or maybe someone who says, I have no budget, I'm living freely, my desire is to live to the fullest of life. All those three different people are going to make drastic differences in their decisions on a daily basis because they have different striving points that's leading them down. And the same is when believers are living our, when we are living our lives, if we are following after the will of God, it is going to look very different than if we follow after our own desires and wants. If we follow after the will of God for our life, we are going to be following after how we might best be servants unto him and be obedient to him, how we might best serve him in the things that we do. And if your focus is on something else, well, you're going to put everything else aside to strive for that point, including God. Don't think that you can have something that is more important or a striving point in your life that is above God that won't affect your life as a believer, because it will. It will lead you down a different path. It will be in your daily decisions and how you live. And it might not be very obvious over a short period of time, but as time moves on, it becomes more evident in the life that you are living. And James also touches on another fact to kind of the foolishness to go on our own will. Not only do we not know the future and what it holds, though God knows the future, God is all-knowing and able to lead us through and has a purpose for our life. James also talks about how uncertain life is, or how short life is. One thing we know as a believer that we learn from God and his word is that one of two things are going to happen to us. Either we are going to die, or the Lord is going to return. One of those two things, as Scripture tells us, is going to happen in our life as believers. And James talks about how short our life truly is in the span of eternity. Many of you were walking outside and it was quite cold this morning. And I don't know how many of you got to see your breath this morning. When I got outside to start my car, I think it was 3 degrees. And I was able to see my breath very well. But it doesn't stay very long, does it? You see it for a second and then it's gone. James describes that as the life of a believer, that it's here for a moment. And then it's gone. And James in verse 14 talks about one's life in the perspective of this eternity. And the statement that James makes in verse number 14 and talking about our life and perspective of eternity is actually, he builds upon what is found in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27 in verse number 1, as it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." James shows how in reality our life is short and we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what we will, what time we have left here on earth. And we see that this text, that these men that James illustrates were boasting of their plans for the future, as we see in verse number 16. But as they were boasting in their future, they were boasting in how they are to gain, they weren't having the true attitude that a believer should in how can I best serve God in the time that I have. They were more focused on investing in the physical gain that they could get rather than investing in their eternity. Since our life is short here on earth, we should not waste our time by following after or fulfilling our own desires, but invest our lives in that which is eternal. We see that truth in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, at the very end of the chapter in chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse number 17, Scripture says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Anything that has true eternal value is found in the will of God for our life. It's not found in our own desires. It's not found in getting what we can out of this earth, but it's following after God's will for how we ought to live in our daily life and in our long-term life as well. We should not be foolish as these businessmen to walk through the uncertainties of life with our own vision. God's will for our life is our map as a believer to navigate how we ought to move around this dark world. As we read through Scripture, as the Spirit guides us, as we pray to Him, in how to live in the will of God. And on a daily basis, that is living according to Scripture, following after God, and striving to serve Him to the fullest of your ability, and glorifying Him in your actions, and trusting in Him on a daily basis. But these businessmen that we see were more focused on their own planning than they were on the will of God. They were more focused on themselves and their own desires than following after what God would have for them. Now, it could be very well that these men that James is illustrating, that it would be God's will for them to go and to do that. But their attitude and their demeanor and their heart is the problem. Because they're not saying, "Lord, guide me as we go. If this be your will, can we go and do this?" as I faithfully serve you and able to gain so I might better serve you, and having that godly perspective, rather they were just seeking, how can I fulfill my own desires? And James shows a little bit of the foolishness that's in that in the first couple verses here, as he points out that we as people can't see the future. We as people are not guaranteed the future. So how is it that we try to plan our future without God? God who knows our future, God who knows how many days we have left, and God who will for our life is perfect. How can we turn from that into ourselves, truly? You see, by looking at the reality of the truth of Scripture and what we know as believers, that it's honestly kind of foolish that we would try to plan our life outside of God and His will. Not only do we see one's planning, but we also see one's boasting as we continue on in looking at verses 16 and 17. As I mentioned, these people that James were describing and depicting as they were planning over their own desires were boasting of themselves as well. Verse 16 says, "But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." These men, James illustrates, may have had a good plan how to earn great wealth, in which they boasted of that opportunity, of their great planning, of their great wisdom, of their great knowledge in what to do in the wealth that they were going to obtain. But if in reality, what does man really have to boast about in regard to the future? As mentioned, these men were boasting of their future, but in reality, who knows if they would even have that future? Who knows what lies ahead? God does. We do not know what the future holds, nor do we possess the power to change the future. So what reason do we have to boast in the future? We lack the ability to see it, and we lack the ability to change it. Now, many people believe that they are in control of their future and what will happen in one's life. And there are many out there. This world truly believes that they are in complete control of their future, that they make it. And some believers have that mindset as well, that, you know, we are able to control our own future. But as we went over already, life is short and we don't know what will happen. We don't know how many days we have left. We don't know what situations or circumstances that will be placed in front of us. So truly, what reason do we have to boast in our plans? If the plans are not guaranteed and we don't possess the power to control the future, what reason do we think that we are able to do so? Now, one might say, well, in fact, I can control my own future. And one might stay and stand up today that says that I can share how I can control my future. I am going to go home after morning service and I am going to eat a red apple. That seems very simple, doesn't it? That one saying, I am in complete control of my future because I have the ability to go home and I have the ability to eat that red apple that's in my house at home. Again, do we know what the future holds? Let's say on your way down to your house after service, God calls you home to heaven. Let's say outside of your all-knowing wisdom, your wife ate that last apple last night without you knowing it. You might try to plan for the future, but again, you do not know what the future holds. You are not all-knowing. God is. And you do not have the power to change the future. God does. Now, God gives us our own opportunity. He gives free will for those to do things. But don't think that God is not in control with that. Though one might boast and say, I'm going to eat a red apple when I get home, and in fact, you get home safely, your wife didn't eat the apple, and you ate that apple. But can I tell you that it's only by God's grace that you were even able to take a breath this morning? That's by God's grace that you were even have the ability of life to be born. And it's God who controls the universe. He's the one who controls our life. It'd be foolish to think otherwise, as we see from Scripture that God is all-knowing and all-powerful. And so we shouldn't boast in our plans. We shouldn't be boasting in what our future holds and what we will accomplish, what we will get out of it, what we have to look forward to. We shouldn't be boastful in those things, in desiring after those things, in putting ourselves, you know, away from the will of God. Proverbs 19, Proverbs again tells one how they should not be boastful in the future. Proverbs 19 in verse 21, as Scripture says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Devices here in verse 21 has a meaning of plans. So it says, there are many plans in man's hearts. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. We as people might have many plans. We might have many plans that we want to accomplish. But as Proverbs tells us, it's the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Rather than boasting in our plans, we should be rejoicing in God's plan as we follow after the will for that he has for us in our life. We can see a great deal of pride with what James is describing here. A great deal of pride as it depicts as one who disobeys the will of God. And in verse 17, it paints a picture of one who knows the will of God and disobeys it anyway. This disobedience is rightfully said, as James calls it, to be sin. One who knows the will of God for their life, knows how they ought to be living, and turns away from God in disobedience, that is sin. As you turn away from God, and you say, I don't want to follow God's plan for my life. I want to follow after my own desires, my own plans, my own will, my own power. And doing so, you see how full of pride one becomes. As believers, we have heard the truth of God's word in how we ought to live our lives. But how often do we stray? How often do we go and follow our own path? It's easy to say, I know that we are supposed to be following after the Lord's will for my life. But if we're being completely honest with ourselves, are we truly following after his will? Are we living for him? And there's many reasons. As James depicts someone who is deliberately disobeying the will of God. There can be many reasons why one strays away from God's will, why one does so. Possibly many reasons. Pride in being able to boast in our so-called accomplishments, fear of what might be coming in our future, such as trials or suffering, that we are fearful and we stray away. We seek after our own comfort. Ignorance and thinking that we know better than God, and possibly many other reasons. But the source of all these things is pride. The overarching reason why one turns away from the will of God is the same thing that we went over in the beginning of chapter 4. as one who strives after their own lust, one strives after their own desires, rather than seeking God and how they ought to live. For one to follow the will of God in one's life, they must be focused on putting God first in their lives. If we are truly going to follow after the will of God, we're not going to be following after our own desires. We're not going to allow that to guide us or allow our emotions or our lusts to take hold and guide us. We looked last week in the beginning of chapter 4 how much sinfulness that can lead one. And here again we see that one who disobeys the will of God is in sin. And it's because you or someone who has done this puts themselves before God and above God and saying, I know better. My desires are more important than your will in my life. Now you might say, that's a pretty serious thing to say. You know, I've strayed from God, but I don't think I've ever done it in that much of a direct way of saying, I'm more important than you, God, or my desires are better than yours. But can I tell you, in reality, when you choose to follow after your own desires, your own lusts, that's exactly what you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing. As you go and follow after your own sinful lusts and sinful desires rather than the desire and the will of God in your life. And as you seek to do so. But we as believers are to put God first in our life and to follow humbly after him. And so now as we get to our last point, we see our submission. Now looking through this text, is it wrong for one to be a businessman? No. Is it wrong for one to plan in the future? No. I actually just recently worked up a yearly church calendar that we are going to try to go by. And was I wrong in doing so and trying to plan out a year out? No. It's not the planning that was the sinfulness or the idea that planning one's future is full of sin. These things of themselves weren't wrong if it was the Lord, if they were seeking the Lord's will in their life. If we are humbly seeking the Lord's will and following his guidance for our lives, and our planning then follows after that. In a way, as we plan for our future, if we're following after and having the desire to follow God's will, to obey him, to live the new life that we have in Christ, well, then our planning will reflect that. In verse number 15, we see that James used words here of words that should have been said. And these words that are in verse number 15, as he's describing what the businessman should have said, aren't just words. It deals more than just the words that one speaks off of our lips, but it deals with one's heart. As verse 15 says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. As we read those words, it's not the words that we say. One might say, if the Lord wills it, I'm going to do this. But your heart attitude is not following after that. Your words are opposite of what your heart is. We see that this attitude, this is an attitude or heart that one is to have of submitting to the will of God, in having a submitful heart towards God. And we see this heart and we see this attitude throughout Scripture of others who have lived their lives according to. We see in John chapter 4, we see the example of Jesus Christ in following after the will of God the Father. In John chapter 4, in verse number 34, John 4:34, it says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Paul also, as we have recorded in Scripture, in his planning, in his journeys to churches, often included the will of God into his planning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we see that as he talks about his future plans. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. And so we see the example of Christ and Paul's, as we just look at a couple passages this morning, that they were making future plans, but they had the heart of following after the will of God in those plans. It wasn't my plans come before God. It's how can I best honor God with my plans? God's will for our lives is something that often can bring us to challenges or trials. There are times where God's will for our life is sometimes the harder path in making decisions in our life. And I won't tell you that following after the will of God and how you ought to live is one that is always going to be sunshines and rainbows. It is often hard. It's often one that's full of challenges, trials, even persecution. And God doesn't hide that from us. God doesn't tell us that it will be a perfect walk. He often tells us that there will be trials, but he describes the purposes of them, as James already has in the beginning of this book, in saying that they are there for our ability that we might grow spiritually through him. And can I encourage you with a little bit more in looking at the will of God as well? That God is all-knowing. He knows what the future is going to hold. So who better to seek to follow after than one who knows what the future holds? God loves us. Don't think that God's plan is just impersonal or unloving for our lives. God loves us as a heavenly Father. And as he directs our life and how we ought to live, he does so in a loving way. God wants us to grow. As I already mentioned in James chapter 1, he talks about how we might grow through trials. Are trials something that we always want to go through? No. Sometimes do we wish, man, I wish I could just have an out of this trial? Sometimes, yeah. But you know, God wants us to grow. He has certain things in our lives for a reason. Also, his way is perfect. God is holy. He is perfect. So is his plan. So is his will for our lives. His will for our life is perfect. He helps and guides us. God helps us and gives us strength during difficulties as we follow his will for our life. God guides us as well as we seek his will for our lives and how we ought to live in what direction to go in. And you know something? God's will for my life is better than anything I could ever come up with on my own. Truly. If you are wondering here this morning how to find God's will for your life, I want to encourage you with a few things and how you might better seek the will of God and how you might see how you ought to live. First is seek his will. This means that we both have the right attitude and heart towards his will and have a desire for it. Are you seeking even, to start off with in living in the will of God, are you seeking God's will for your life? And that I think that has two parts. One, you're actively searching and seeing what God's will is for your life. And two, you have the heart's desire to live for him, not yourself. Again, putting God first in your life and having the desire to serve him faithfully in whichever way he calls us to. Secondly, is be in God's word. God's word is the all-sufficient truth for how we as believers ought to live our life and how we know how we ought to live on a daily basis. And James has already gone through as well, we saw this a few weeks ago, that we ought to be not only hearers of God's word, but doers of his word. You want to seek the will of God in your life? Search and meditate on his word as it helps instruct us and guides us, and the Spirit helps guide us through his word as well, and how we ought to live our life as believers. And in the standards that we have, in the actions that we are to do, in everything in our life, we can look at the word of God to see how we ought to be living. Thirdly is pray to God. Be constantly in prayer for God's guidance. Be praying, God, please guide me, direct my life. Whatever your will be in my life, Lord, let it be. Show me what I can do to best serve you. Give me opportunities. Make them known unto me. And not only that, when you are faced with a fork in the road, when you're faced with a tough decision, or you are in a difficult situation, go to God in prayer. I think oftentimes prayer is looked at in the life of believers as something that is a last resort. But we should be turning to God right away and praying to him in our circumstances. Philippians tells us to be in worry for nothing, but be in prayer for everything. And if you're faced with difficulties and you're faced with, Lord, I don't know what to do, go to him in prayer. Ask him to show you. Ask him to guide you. Ask him to give you strength, give you wisdom. James has already told us in chapter 1, for those who lack wisdom, pray to God, and he gives it liberally. That those who come to God with a heart's desire after him, that God gives them wisdom. God doesn't withhold wisdom for us. If we seek his wisdom, he will give it to us, and how we ought to live in his will. And lastly, I want to touch on is to live faithfully and in serving God on a day-by-day basis. I know we talked a lot about long-term planning, but short-term as well, how you ought to live. That on a day-by-day, by an hour-by-hour moment, be faithfully serving God day-by-day. And can I tell you what will happen? One who has the great desire to follow after the God's will for their life, one who is day by day serving God and then following the instructions he has given us through his word, that believer who is day by day following after God, in 5 years he will find himself in the will of God. Because day by day in the decisions and the life and the changes that come about, they are constantly and over again seeking God and striving after him. Don't think that this is just something that we long-term have, that, yes, I see that I have to get right, I see that I have to grow, and I have this long-term plan in how I might do that. Or just have a focus that is on the future. Planning ahead is not a bad thing, but we also need to make sure that we're living for God on a day-by-day basis in everything that we do. And can I tell you that if we do that, if we are constantly day-by-day following after the will of God and following after how we ought to live our lives for him faithfully, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, we will find ourselves in the will of God because we have faithfully sought after him. As we've gone through this text, we've seen the foolishness of these businessmen as they've tried planning out their future apart from God. I think we might be quick to judge them, but we need to examine our own life as well. What am I living for? Am I living for God? Am I living for serving Him, to doing what He has commanded to me in obedience? Or am I allowing areas of my life to be directed after my own personal lusts or desires? The two things will lead you in completely different directions. And as we seek to follow God's will for our life, we need to put Him first. It's not I want, I desire, I want this. It's, Lord, what is Your will? Lord, how have You instructed me to live my life? Lord, how can I best serve You? And so this morning, as we look at this text, the question is, are you following after God's will in your life? Is God a part of your life? Is He who you're desiring and seeking after, not just long term, but also today? Or are you following after some of your own desires, your own lusts, or things that you want? And if the answer is no, I encourage you to go through the things that I mentioned to seek God's will, both actively seeking and both having a heart desire to truly want to be in God's word, to be in prayer with God, and to faithfully serve Him day by day. And if you're someone who says, I can confidently say I am fully following the will of God in my life, I encourage you to continue on strongly. To continue to be in God's word, to continue to be in prayer, to continue to be serving Him faithfully day by day. And don't let the idea that following after our own desires isn't sinfulness. Anytime we turn away from God and in His will for our life and turn to our own desires, we are in disobedience and sin towards God. And as believers that are living a new life in Christ, that should not be. And so I encourage you, as James did for the believers, to follow after God's will for your life. To have an honest look at what is guiding you. What are you working towards or for? How are you planning? How are you living? Is it centered around yourself, or is it centered around God? And hopefully, as I mentioned, if you find an area or many areas of where your focus is away from God, I encourage you, before you even go home today, that you get right with Him and you seek firmly to follow in His will day by day, year by year. As long as we live here on earth, that we are to be seeking to live in the will of God for our life. Let's go and close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for Your word, and I thank You for the opportunity that we have to come together and to hear from Your word, Lord. Lord, I pray that You allow us to take an honest examination of our hearts. I pray, Lord, that You allow our hearts to be open to the guiding of the Spirit, Lord, as well. It may be showing areas of where we are following after our own desires rather than following after You. I pray, Lord, if there be any here who are seeking and following after their own desires and have strayed from Your will, Lord, that they get right with You today. And I pray, Lord, that we, as believers here, are having a great passion, desire to follow after You and Your will, Lord. Not allow us to be swooped up by our own foolishness and thinking that we know better or that we can control, Lord, but to submit to Your will. day by day in our life. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.